What up? You're listening to the killer.
This gig.
With Simplistic.
Hey, say what's happening, homie.
And Dubious One.
Yes, sir.
What's good? It's yours truly, Simplistic and Dubious One from the Get Up, and we got a little exclusive for you today. We got Jamal Solomon, aka the tax guy, aka the flyest guy around, and you guys can get him at www.thetaxfactor.com. He's here with us today because we were so lucky to get an exclusive peek into his book, A Good Guy's Tax Journal Series Part 1. So we're going to talk to him today and find out a little insight into his book, himself, and who knows where this conversation may go with a guy like Dubious One. So, Jamal Solomon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right, Jamal, man, how you doing, man? I've known you for a little while, and I guess that's why I got a little exclusive peek into your book. And you've always been a guy to bring taxes to light in a different form or different facet. And watching your book here, reviewing it, reading and going through it, you make a lot of references to music, which is something you know a lot about, and you know me for so many years. You know that's my life right there, besides talking to the youth and teaching. So tell us, what made you and drove you to write a book about such a boring subject, to be very honest with you, taxes? Because the average person only knows about taxes one time a year. We want to get our taxes, our returns, how much am I getting back? Do I got to pay Uncle Sam? Uncle Sam, get off my back. You understand the rest. So, I mean, tell us, how are you bringing this to life, etc.? I'm gonna shut up and let you talk.
Oh, man, disrespecting the craft is all good, but I'm obsessed with taxes, and even with me reading tax books, it's very hard because sometimes it's just boring. So even right now, I need music to write, because I can only write about taxes if I'm motivated, if I'm amped. So, you know, that's why you see a lot of Jay-Z, maybe you might see Tupac, the Beatles, because I'm basically blasting music in my ear because that's the thing that motivates me.
Wait, hold on. Tupac, the Beatles. I mean, how are you hearing taxes?
Johnny Cash.
I mean, in Tupac.
Nirvana.
But Tupac, the Beatles, Nirvana, all these things. Where are you hearing taxes? Because when I hear Tupac, I hear struggles of the street of inner city youth. When I hear Nirvana and I hear these different, I hear a different kind of plane. So where are you hearing taxes in this while you're writing your material or your craft or speaking on your craft or whatever, man? Talk to us.
Oh, man, I'm just one of those weird guys that could see a tax situation in any book. They could be talking about violence. They could be talking about clubbing. And I'm talking about how much the alcohol costs plus the tax. So it's just in me. And if you do your research, most artists do talk about tax at least one time, either in a verse or in a song.
Ah, really? Wow. So as you said, that's a great introduction. Wait, who's doing the interview? You or me here, man? That's a good introduction into the question there, because like you say, you see it in different places, whether it's in a movie or in music. And in your book, you quoted Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn, Jay-Z, Large Up, Brooklyn Nets, all them big things, right? But how did you, I mean, I'm listening to Jay and I seen the song in which you quoted it from. What did you pause the MP3 once you heard taxes and wrote that down? Like, I mean, how did you put the two together?
Man, nah, taxes, the songs is just always in my head. I mean, unfortunately for my wife, she always hear me saying different verses around the house. So the songs is just always in my head. And sometimes it's just a song that just pops in my head and just motivates me to write. And I just gotta write about a whole topic about taxes. And I just find a way to mash the two together. And that's how it happens.
Yeah, I hear what he's saying. But people, if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the Jay-Z song, Oh My God. And I think the lines in which you said was the one where he says, now these baby baller toy rappers calling out my name to bring the boy backwards, shooting air balls at the basket. What you call money, I paid more in taxes.
There you go.
I mean, that was a punchline, bro.
There you go. I'm the rare person in the club or listen to the radio, like, oh, he mentioned taxes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I see you. All right. You one of those guys who got those ears for your craft. Anything with this, like a signal that goes off.
Don't respect the craft.
I got you. So, once again, people who might not know about taxes, or like I said, we just give it to a person who prepares these documents, maybe at your other establishments. I ain't gonna shout none of them out, but the person in which we go to, what are those people called exactly? Because I'm sure I know there's like different things, like an enrolled agent or something, but I really don't know the terminology that well. So maybe you can tell us, shed a little light onto that, who you are, and we could get back more into your book, etc. But let's give them a little terminology, because you know how y'all guys start to talk in your terms and your crafts and stuff.
The everyday citizen knows about CPA, but if you ask the average Joe about what the CPA means, they really don't really know what a CPA is. What I am, I'm an enrolled agent. People don't know what that is. They think about EAs, they think about the video games, they don't care about me. But we federally authorized to represent people in front of the IRS, and we're America's best kept tax secret, but people just don't know about us because the CPA just got the biggest lobbying firm ever. So there's options out there. Just don't think about CPAs.
Now, Jamal, I was sitting down to read this book, and I was expecting, you know, the guy.
Now, who are you?
we'll put that in there. He already did the
people just walking shit. In. It's crazy here.
So I sat down to do this to skim over the exclusive copy of this book, and I was expecting the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, dry eyes, taxes, you know, enroll agents, and I was pleasantly surprised that there's a little story going on, a little storyline, like, you know. Is this one of those situations where names have been changed? You know, are these based on true stories? What, can you
well,
elaborate on that?
The main character is my personality. Now, the situations happen during like some of my clients, or as crazy as each situation is, I can guarantee I could tell you a real life story that I experienced, that I helped somebody through. So the stories are actually true, but it's done through, you know, my imagination and all the other stuff. But all the stories are true.
Okay. And then I noticed, you know, because this is the exclusive copy, you know, the before print copy. I noticed that there's a little thing. Stop me if I'm giving something away here. But it said A Good Guy's Tax Journey Series Part 1. Are we to expect more in this series?
It's a trilogy. It's a trilogy.
Okay. So the saga will continue. I didn't get to finish the book yet, but does it end on a cliffhanger?
It's gonna end in a cliffhanger, but it's following the life of the main character. He's a young dude with a wife, a young kid, and we're just gonna follow his life. Whether right now he just had his first taxes with his wife. The next book is going to be something different. And who knows, the third book, he'll probably be a little older. So it's a trilogy. It's going to follow his life.
All right. And for those listening, man, it's a good read. It's a quick read. You know, it's not, you're not going to be bogged down. You get some good information.
Anti-tax book. I did not want it to be boring. Every time I wrote it, I just wanted to figure out, would somebody sleep through this? If I felt like they was going to sleep through it, I had to change it up.
Yeah. He said it's a quick read. That's my partner in crime, Dubes, right? It's a quick read, but he ain't finished the book yet. Yeah. Nah, it is a quick read, man. And I'm telling you, it's very insightful. A lot of information here about taxes. And he was speaking about there's a little story going on here, right? And I see it's about, can I say one of the characters?
You can say the name.
All right. It's about Will. And I was seeing you saying it's about the joining of the two lives with the, you know, he gets married and, you know, they're bringing taxes together. Now, I know finances is a very big thing in marriages today, causing divorce rates to be alarming and go up, etc. How would you say, through your course of preparing taxes, have you say you've saved a lot of marriages by keeping the books together and giving a nice return? I'm not saying you're fudging any numbers. I'm just saying you're making sure that the two returns are nice. I mean, are you helping homes to stay together?
Hey, man, we, you know, sometimes it's more than this. People just see me as just doing a tax return, putting some W-2s in. But it goes deeper than that. You know, the clients that come ask you all these questions, I consult them. So I could say I saved some marriages because, you know, their finances was going down. But, you know, I do what I do.
Heard it here first. Hitch, move over. You just need a good tax book and you can save your marriage.
And what people gotta know about this book is that it's not gonna make you an expert, but everybody needs to know about taxes. So what's going to make you do is make you know what to look out for and how to deal with the IRS.
True indeed.
You still got to pay me to do your tax returns, but you're going to know the right questions to ask.
Okay. And I see in your book, you definitely explain a lot of the terminology, break it down into terms where the average person can actually relate to and understand. Besides using, music. I see you use a lot of social media. You have your website, thetaxfactor.com.
Yep.
Can you tell the people other places and how they can find you, log on, get onto your information, maybe put down a pre-order for your book, which is coming out, which is the e-copy, correct?
Yep.
All right, e-copy, very nice, very easy on the pockets. So, tell the people what's good.
Well, the easiest way is to go through my blog, which is thetaxfactor.com, and also I have a Twitter account, thetaxfactor.
Okay. All right. So what is one chapter in the book before we get out of it? Because we want to give too much, right? Called Time to Deal with the Infamous IRS. Why is the IRS so infamous? Why do they have such a bad, PR campaign with them? Because is it because the average person doesn't understand the information, or is it hasn't been broken down to the average person, or just the masses truly just are pre-consumed with their everyday life and they don't care about taxes?
It's like a bouncer at a club. Everybody want to hate the bouncer because the bouncer won't let you in because your outfit is not up to par. But it's really the owner that told the bouncer, like, listen, if a dude comes in with Tim's, don't let him in. It's the same thing, except the owner is Congress. Congress makes the tax rules. Mm. And what the Congress tells the IRS is like, listen, enforce this. And that's the law. That will be the law. So a lot of people just hate the IRS, but they won't hate the people that they voted in.
Okay.
Huh. Same thing. So you like how I put a little music? I slide a little music there at the club and stuff.
Yeah.
How my mind is on wires. So you can't just hate the IRS. You got to know who you voting for and their policies, because that makes the tax laws.
Okay.
The IRS just enforces everything.
All right. So before we wrap this up, Jamal, you always talking about, your music in the clubs. And we see you're a pretty hip guy, down to earth, youthful guy. So what would you say to the youth out there? Because, let's be real. Until you reach maybe, 40s, or you have your own house and you have to pay taxes and stuff like that, the average person really doesn't pay attention, as you were saying before, even though taxes on everything. So how do you feel you're going to bring this message to the younger demographic? And when I mean younger, I mean maybe as young as 18 to about, let's say, 27, 30, that range. How are you trying to bring this forth in your book and throughout your practice?
Well, through my book, through my speaking engagements, I always find creative ways to explain complex things. Still complex, but everybody still needs to know it. So I like to make taxes more engaging. So that's my whole thing when I speak. And this book is very engaging. It's like the character is talking to you.
Okay.
So that's how I like to bring in the younger generation, because no matter how rich or poor you are, you need to know about taxes. There's no way out of it.
Okay, all right. So, Dubs, you got any final words before you get out of here? I was surprised he even got up on the interview here. Usually he's in the background, passing me papers and stuff like that, keeping me informed of the other thing. Dubs, you got anything?
Oh, I'm finishing the book.
All right, sounds good. See? So, Jamal, before we get out of here, it's definitely always a pleasure having you.
A pleasure.
And give the people your information one time, direct them how to get this book to pre-order, if there's a pre-order link, and just to find out more information throughout your blogs and all the different events you're at, etc.
Well, all the information could be found at thetaxfactor.com, or you can email me directly, Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, @thetaxfactor.com. And all the information for the book will be right there. And also, if you want me to speak in your event, there's also, you can find me at the website.
Jamal! And that's yours truly, Simplistic and Dubious One from the Get Up. We are out of here wrapping this thing up. Peace.
TheTaxFactor.com.